clap in 3, 2, 1.
This is HM96 Podcast. I'm Fiona Adams. When used outside of a Pokemon battle, this hidden machine allows me to host a weekly podcast where guests and I discuss a Pokemon and its evolutionary family.
And joining us this week is Jules Lowe. Jules, why don't you tell the audience about yourself?
Hi, I'm Jules. I am a 25-year-old trans lady from Sydney, Australia. I'm also Chinese as well, and should I just plug where you can find me for the moment?
Yeah.
You can find me at Gatsby Lowe on Twitter, primarily. I've been compared to a vlogger on there, and that's kind of ruined my perception of everything, because I realized, yeah, I just kind of tweet about everything I'm doing at the moment. That's also where you get my hot takes.
Like buying Gunpla.
Like buying Gunpla, like dealing with dating two people at the same time, and also like just talking about tokusatsu a lot. You can also find me on Audio Entry, our wonderful podcast network. I'm on specifically the Digital Moncast. You can also find me on Transmission Radio, one of the latest shows we've launched, and I do that with Ashley and Molly from Totally Reprise, and Let Me Tell You About Homestuck. And that's just what I've coined an amateur anecdotal advice podcast about what it's like being trans in our mid-20s, and where we try our best to just share experiences, help people feel less alone, and give advice where available when people ask for it.
Yeah. And you're on this week to talk about Sandshrew and Sandslash.
Yes, I am. Very excited for that.
And you did research.
Well, I re-upped on research, because the thing about me is that I'm a huge animal nerd. I have always loved reading books about animals and factoids about them and watching documentaries about nature. So I tend to be that person in like group conversations with friends who brings up, hey, did you know about the mantis shrimp and how it can see like a billion more types of color than we can? And also mantis shrimp are like the fastest predators, you know, even more so than polar bears.
Also, listeners, just so you know, we're recording this at 2:41 a.m.
Your time?
My time. And what time is it by you, Jules?
5:41 p.m.
Yeah, the only way this could get more time zone fucked is if we had friend of the network Weedle Lord Vegeta on this episode.
That's a good old name. Holy shit, how did I not think about that?
Well, he and I debated between Weedle Lord Vegeta or Gloom Lord Vegeta, because, like, chances are people get high off of Gloom.
Oh, no, there aren't chances. That's a certainty, yeah. No, yeah, come on.
We should talk about Sandshrew and Sandslash.
We should, because I love a lot of the original Gen 1 Pokemon. I love a lot of Pokemon in general, but yeah, you originally had me on, and I'm still booked on for Growlithe and Arcanine, but I cannot say that name out loud. On the
Fire Pupper and Fire Doggo.
Yeah, but no, like Sandshrew and Sandslash are like probably, I've come to realize, probably my second favorite after those two.
Yeah, I can dig it. I run a Sandslash in my Kanto team. His name is Knuckles.
Nice. Very nice.
I wanted to try and get a shiny one, but I'm too lazy to care about shinies.
Yeah.
If I really cared, I would have gotten a shiny Clowitzer, because my Clowitzer is named Zoidberg.
Nice.
But I just decided that's a Clowitzer from Universe B, aka
right. Yes.
The Mongooses.
Yes, exactly. But the only shiny I've ever gotten is like a shiny Poliwhirl. I was like, that's cool, but then it's like, it's just a slightly lighter shade of blue. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I have a shiny Geodude, which is like ruby colored.
Ooh!
Yeah.
My girlfriend has a shiny Umbreon, and I'm exceedingly jealous of her at all times.
Oh!
Yeah, she bred that. See, when you're like a...
Shiny Umbreon has the fucking best color scheme.
I realized, like, getting my girlfriend back into video games again, because she's autistic, I realized, oh right, an autistic girl who lived in the 90s getting back into Pokemon, she's now just bred a shitload of shinies because she has the time and effort to put in. I'm like, I'm envious of your skill and patience.
Shiny Umbreon!
Yeah!
Oh my god. Oh, I want it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, back to like, back to the digging
back
boys. Back to the dig boys, I call them.
Dig Dug.
Yes.
So, what do you think Sandshrew and Slash's roles are, as fauna in the Pokemon world?
See, the funny thing is, doing research, I first of all love the animal they're based on, pangolins. They're some of my favorite animals.
Pangolins are so cute.
They're so cute, for anyone who doesn't know. So, okay, imagine an armadillo that actually walks on its hind legs, but holds its front claws out, in front of it. Kind of like a nervous kid who wants to ask you to the school dance. It's just like, hi, how's it going?
So basically, me as a kid.
I mean, same. So yeah,
raise your hand if you were nervous.
They look like they want to confess their affection to you, and they're just really scared. But yeah, they're basically like armored anteaters. For people who don't know, pangolins are wonderful. Unfortunately, very vulnerable to extinction and endangerment. But I'll talk more about pangolins. But with Sandshrew and Sandslash, the thing with pangolins is that they're insectivores, so they obviously only eat bugs. But Sandshrews have been described on things like Bulbapedia as them hunting to catch prey from their burrow nests. I'm just thinking you don't really need to lunge out of a burrow to grab a bug. So I'm wondering what the hell else they eat. Because that must mean that...
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm looking at their...
Well, because, they may be based on pangolins, but pangolins are essentially anteaters. They eat with their tongue. They don't have a teeth. But we've definitely seen Sandshrew and Sandslash with, mouse-like teeth, because they're the mouse Pokemon.
Yeah, it doesn't specify their diet.
Not really.
It might be stuff I don't know.
I can see them almost,
Who knows?
I'm trying to think of what the smaller ones would be like. Because I can see them...
Caterpies and Weedles and Rattatas?
Oh, yeah. I can probably see Rattatas, definitely. Because I would almost say Nidorans, but I can also see them not wanting to fuck with, Nidorinos and Nidoqueens and Nidokings, because that would be messed up.
And also poison barbs on a Nidoran.
Yeah. But yeah, I think they're more definitely lower on the food chain. I think... They're more to keep insect populations in control, for the most part, especially in more arid areas, as well as probably some of the sandy parts of, even forests and parks that have those sort of more, dried-out parts of them.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of parks like that here, because, Long Island is an island.
Same here in Australia. I can see that, because there's a lot
of... Yeah, your continent's an island.
Yeah, our continent's an island, and, you definitely have parts where there's just field and grass and trees, and then just suddenly beach. So I can... Yeah.
Yeah, well, Long Island was glacially formed from a glacier receding. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of weird stuff in the middle of the island. And the North Shore is, really rocky and, really rocky and rough.
Mm-hmm.
We have random just huge sandy areas in the middle of the island.
I'm trying to think, what are more, arid, bug types? Because nothing springs to mind.
Stuff like dragonflies and stuff. So, maybe it eats Yanma?
Yeah, I can see that. Because, especially if it's further out, from my... knowledge of geography, local geography, I should say, with the outback, I can see Sandshrews and Sandslashes being in that more desert area, just eating on sand, eating on yamas and stuff.
Yeah. Instead of blooming onions.
Yeah, that's not a thing here. Again, it's. Look, the creators of Outback Steakhouse have freely admitted they've never been to Australia.
I know, but I still, the joke was there.
I'll say this, the one thing about Outback Steakhouse that actually applies to Australia is no rules just right, and that's applied to our fauna and flora. Because everything's fucked.
Yeah. And part of me would like to imagine Sandshrew replacing tumbleweeds. In deserty areas, where instead of seeing a tumbleweed go past, it's just a Sandshrew doing, a really slow rollout.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, the funny thing I found out is that...
Because they do curl up into balls.
Yeah. Well, fun enough, you just reminded me of one of my favorite things about pangolins, which is So they can also curl up into balls as well, because that's their whole defensive mechanism, because they're covered in keratin armored scales. But most of them are nocturnal. So just during the day in their natural habitat, you would just see a bunch of sleeping, curled up pangolins, like just these armored scaled balls. That's adorable!
That's so cute.
Even on their Wikipedia page, this is a picture of these two Asiatic lions just confused as hell by these things. Like, okay, so we can't eat it. What do we do?
You can play handball with it.
Yeah. Well,
or maybe paw ball.
I think it is funny that they do mention on Ballpedia that, so centaurs respectively, are bipedal, but unfortunately, you know, inaccurate anime, as the nicest way I can put that anime, shows them running on, like, all fours, and, like, no, that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Well, it does say Sand Slash can run on all fours.
But that makes even less sense with those giant claws of its own. Like,
yeah.
And also, I don't want to live in a world where those two Pokemon don't waddle everywhere, because that's adorable to imagine. So, like, yeah. You know, so imagine,
or they just
like,
roll around like Gorons.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be great. But I just want to imagine a Sandshrew, like, you know, like the way some people might carry a really heavy shopping bag with both hands in front of them, but also like trying to run for the bus?
Yeah, I know, I've done that.
Yeah, just imagine that with a Sandshrew. Like, that's the way it would run. It's great.
So cute.
They're adorable. I love them.
So, how do you feel about their role in the video games as, like, party members?
I always feel they kind of get overshadowed a lot.
Yeah. Like, Gen 1 actually has a really good coverage of ground types.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from.
Because you got Onix, you got the Golem line, you got Marowak. And, like, Marowak has the anime popularity and the Lavender Tower arc.
Yep, and you've also got Diglett and Dugtrio.
Yeah, which that was an extreme, like, even now I have that song fucking memorized 20 fucking years later. God.
Diglett dig, Diglett dig, Diglett dig.
Trio, trio, trio.
God. Doesn't help that I also had my, like, Beach Boys shit posting about Alolan Dugtrio.
Well, you're the only one who agrees with me that Alolan Dugtrio looks like Beach Boys.
Well, they look like Hanson as well, but they do also look like the Beach Boys. Like, come the hell on.
Yeah.
Come on!
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, I'm gonna name mine Smile, because everyone has different ideas of what it should be.
Yeah. That's such a fucking deep pull.
It is, and I want to forward it to Matt Fraction, because he's not on Twitter anymore.
Right.
And he would really appreciate that joke. Because, like, there was a solid half a year on my Twitter timeline that was people coming up with their own custom Smile playlists.
Oh, okay.
With, like, specific versions of heroes and villains and all these different songs that were supposed to be on Smile. And it's like, yeah, it's a really deep cut, but it's also one that's, like, right in my fucking wheelhouse.
I can't blame
you. But, I mean, so is me naming a Sand Slash Knuckles.
Yes, precisely. I name mine Quill.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, I've run all the different ground types in my Gen 1 team. Mm. Like, as a Fire Red, but, like, I have teams for each region.
Yeah.
I did originally run a Marowak, and then I ran a Dugtrio, and then I decided to go with Sandslash, because I also taught my Sandslash, I taught it X-Scissor. And I taught it Shadow Claw.
Nice!
To specifically deal with psychic types.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, the fuck?
Because, like, Gen 1 doesn't have good type coverage.
No,
but once
God,
you
no.
get into Gen 3 level, once you get to Gen 3, you have really good TM coverage, and the game is a lot more balanced.
Even so Gen 2, you can a lot teach more stuff. Them. Yeah, even by Gen 2, you can teach us your Sandshrew dynamic punch and stuff. Well, that's in Gen. Yeah, you can just teach it to punch fools.
Yeah, I run a primate on my Gen 1 team whose name is Animal.
Nice.
Like the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, So, like, I use my Sand Slash to combat psychic types, which I feel is something not a lot of people anticipate.
Yeah, that's a good surprise. So it has a nice
effect there.
Yeah, it's a good ambush technique to that.
Yeah. But yeah, it does get overshadowed just because Gen 1 is, like...
There's so much variety.
There's a lot of ground types.
Because it's not like the fire types where you've, like, the main ones people remember are, like, just Charmander and Growlithe and Arcanine and, like, you know, Magma. But, like, that's kind of it, so it kind of...
And Vulpix. Like, fire types have always gone to the wayside a little.
A little bit, yeah.
But, like, also there just weren't many weren't that many electric types compared to ground types, so it wasn't a major thing you had to keep in your party constantly.
Yeah, exactly, and...
Because it was also pre-Rock Smash as a field move.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like you would use a ground type for all of Lieutenant Surge, and then you'd be done.
Yeah, and, like, it was the case where, you know, Sandshrew was only in blue originally, so... If you played red, like me, you never had a Sandshrew in your party to begin with unless you had a friend who had one, and by the time they got one, you probably already had a Diglett to, like, fight Lieutenant Surge.
Yeah, or a Geodude.
Yeah.
Who at that point would probably be a Graveler or something. Like, yeah. You had a lot more options.
Mm-hmm. Which is a shame, but, because Sandshrew is a really good Pokemon. I like it on multiple levels.
Me too, and, like, as I got older and I started designing teams more pragmatically,
mm-hmm.
and also a bit more in advance.
Yeah.
I was futzing around with what ground type I wanted, and then once I realized what I could cover with Sandslash, it made it a lot easier to make the decision.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but we should also talk, because I got a lot of questions.
Yeah, I saw.
usually nobody sends questions. Like, we get one or two, but so many people sent questions. And a lot of them are asking about Alolan Sandshrew and Sandslash.
I think that this is the first in your series that has an Alolan variation, doesn't it? Because...
There's Alolan Raichu, but Allie and I didn't really talk about Raichu so much. We focused more on Pikachu, because that's what
the franchise focuses on. I'm going to tell you right now, I think Raichu's way better than Pikachu.
I mean, same.
Good. Okay, we're...
And also, low-key, I want that. I want that Alolan Raichu.
Oh, no, same. It's adorable. It's riding its tail like a surfboard.
Yeah,
fucking A.
Like, what I'm probably gonna do is make a team solely of Alolan variations.
I mean, there's enough of them. Yeah, that works out.
Like, still fully balanced, but just Alolan variations.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what do you think about Alolan Sandshrew and Sandslash?
I love them. They're amazing.
they're super cute.
Like, okay, just turning its head into an igloo is...
Yeah, super cute.
That is, like, the thing I've loved about the Alolan designs is, like, so, to some extent, you know, you can almost see them as just very, very simple swap around, like, additions. That is a stroke of genius in terms of design, like, visually.
Yeah, it's taking the design space that's being given and doing something super fucking adorable,
like,
with it.
It is just, it's such a simple thing, like, oh right, Sandshrew's a ground type, so it's got a brick pattern, but Alolan Sandshrew's supposed to be ice. Oh, that just looks like ice bricks. Oh, it's an ink. Oh, okay, we can just make that. And it's got a little igloo hoodie.
Yeah, it's ice steel, and it's also friggin' 60 pounds heavier than the regular Sandshrew.
My favorite thing is that Sandshrew is 2 feet tall. Alolan Sandshrew is 2 feet and 4 inches tall, so that ice hoodie just adds 4 inches. I love that.
Yep.
And I also love Alolan Sandslash, because it's just a glacier on its back. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's gorgeous ice crystals, and I can't wait to see what that looks like with the shiny sprite.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like, holy shit. Like, they're really gorgeous variations, and I'm really interested... Because also, Ice Steel kind of covers a few of the issues. Like, it gives it a double weakness to fighting, which is an ish.
Yeah.
But, like, and also, ooh, shit, it gives it a double weakness to fire, too.
That is the major issue. That's always been the problem with Ice, as much as I've loved it and Steel as types. Man, just, you come against a fire type, you're just kind of fucked.
Yeah, I use a Bear Tick in my Gen 5 team named Dharma, because I was lost trash when I was playing Black.
Yep, sure.
And, like, I use it for water, too. And honestly, Bear Tick should be water ice, because polar bears swim.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a lot. It should be, yeah.
But also, and, like, it has, like, I was so lucky to catch one with a good nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't really care about that stuff, but, like, I was super lucky to do it because, oh my god. Like, I'm so lucky when, like, that my Bear Tick is faster than so much other stuff. Because I don't, like, I'll just do Surf and take out whatever's trying to murder me.
Yeah. Well, like, the cool thing about the types with Ice Steel is that you've now got a fucking double whammy against Dragon and Fairy types now with these two.
Yeah.
Which is really funny to me, of just this tiny little igloo mouse just taking on a fucking Dragonite and winning. Like, if you train it well enough, it can't do that.
Yeah. That's going to be really... They're going to be really interesting to see in competitive play.
Yeah, definitely. And even just general play, like what you would not naturally come up against in just a regular playthrough.
Yeah. Because also, like, people use a Bombasnow competitively, which isn't something I can fully wrap my head around. Because it's ice grass.
Yeah, like, it's kind of fucked, like, in every regard. Like,
and people use it competitively, and I'm like, what?
Like, it's so fucking
weird.
No!
But, like, I'm really interested to see how the larger community, like, the more competitive side of the community takes to Alolan, Sandshrew, and Sandslash. Mm. Like, I'm really interested to see its moveset.
Definitely.
But, like, it's probably still gonna have rollout.
Oh, yeah. If it doesn't, I will riot. Come on.
Yeah, no, they're adorable little bowling balls.
Just want to see that thing turn into a snowball. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah, think about that.
They're so cute.
Just imagine those things rolling in a snowfield. Just rolling around.
Making snowmen out of themselves. Yeah.
What if they just live in igloos themselves?
Oh.
You can imagine that, just building igloos.
Yeah. God, I wish people did fan art for this show.
I mean, you're talking to an artist right now. Like, I could totally do this.
Yeah. But I'm also moving at the end of the month, and I can't pay you for it yet.
You think the Teenage Latitude, another Audio Entropy show, paid me to draw Eeyore as the Green Ranger? Like, I still did that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
My mom even framed that.
I mean, you're welcome to.
Oh, yeah, I probably
and
will.
I will display it proudly.
I mean, you think as an artist, I wouldn't totally get in on that Pokemon fan base.
Yeah. So, like, the other thing about Sandshrew and Sandslash is they're not in a lot of the merchandising.
No, which is a real shame.
Yeah, like, it's a very cute Pokemon, and, like, I could imagine really cute, cuddly plushes of them, too.
I almost,
They're just not there.
Yeah, to make a weird Transformers comparison here, the thing is that I feel like they were almost...
We're just saying Peak Jewels.
Well, no, Peak Jewels would be me making, like, talking about making a Gunpla kit out of it, because you could totally whip the panels, and that would be a fun panel lining opportunity. Anyway, to make a Transformers comparison, it's like how originally in OG Gen 1 Transformers, it wasn't Bumblebee that was supposed to be the main, like, character... alongside Optimus, who was, like, the mascot character, essentially. It was Hound, who's my favorite Transformer, who's a green Jeep. Green. I love green, if you couldn't already tell if you don't follow me already. And he's this like young go-getter Jeep who like loves nature and, you know, humanity, is really interested in, you know, the Earth's environment, and he's like teamed up with the Sam Witwicky, the human contact, this little teenage kid. And then somehow, for whatever reason, people just latched onto Bumblebee instead, and Bumblebee became the main guy, and, you know, Hound just kind of faded into the background, which is real sad in some cases. But I feel the same with Sandshrew, because, like, that's such a cute design that's so easy to make a plush out of to, like, draw. It's so simple as well to draw for kids, which is a very, very good point you've brought up on the show before that I've listened to in previous episodes, that, yeah, the Gen 1 designs were just great for kids to draw very easily, especially if they didn't have much artistic skill at the time. And
yeah.
Meanwhile, like, then some, just, I don't know, I guess just because people randomly came across it in Viridian Forest, Pikachu became main guy, and then, you know, they had the anime with Pikachu, and Sandshrew's not even featured that much in the anime, where, like, a lot of Pokemon are featured.
Yeah, there's like one episode with it.
Yeah, like, you know, of course, with Brock and everything, Geodude gets more airtime than Sandshrew, and I find that very unappealing.
Yeah.
So, if there was a Sandshrew plush, I would own the biggest one.
Yeah, I would own a trainer size.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate because, like, a lot of Pokemon get overshadowed by, like, the mascots of their generation. Mm-hmm. But, like, especially in Gen 1.
Yeah.
Like, so many Pokemon get overshadowed because it has Charmander and Pikachu and Mewtwo and Mew.
Exactly, yeah.
And, like, they get overshadowed. Like, so many Pokemon get overshadowed, which, like, I used to get upset that the Pokemon Company was introducing less Pokemon, new Pokemon per generation.
Mm-hmm.
But if it gives each Pokemon more time in the spotlight,
yeah,
I have less of an ish.
Which I think is the good thing about Sun and Moon, because I've not seen any of those Pokemon fall to the wayside nearly as much as previous generations.
Yeah, I mean, people still dunk on the starter designs, but also, like, we have the Nick Robinson owl.
I will fight anyone who badmouths my child Popplio and their evolutions.
No, like, I wasn't keen on Popplio's basic form.
I love that.
Like I wasn't gonna dunk, but, like, yeah, it wasn't catching me. But, like, the final form, like, heck yeah.
Well, the funniest thing is that Popplio is 70% male in terms of how, you know, what you'd get in the wild, which is hilarious to me to some extent with its final evolution, basically.
Trans girl.
Yeah, yeah. And but even then, just based Popplio, someone put it best that Popplio themselves is just that little kid who wants to put on a show for everyone, and they're not going to put on a good show. Like, it's going to be, you know, it's like a 6-year-old putting on a stage production. But you can't help but find that so endearing. It does a little, like, stage bow, and it's got all these theatrical animations to it. It's so... I love Popplio. Let's get back to Sandshrew and Sandslash. Topic at hand.
Like, there's not, like, I've been seeing some fan art of the Alolan forms, mm-hmm. but you still don't see a lot of fan art of the original forms.
I honestly think they knew Sandshrew and Sandslash have been left to the wayside. I think this is them retooling them. Like, they want to make them popular, like, give them an actual shot at being mascots to some extent.
They're doing the opposite. They're rebooting Sandshrew and Sandslash, but, like, the exact opposite of a Zack Snyder reboot.
Yeah, they've made them even cuter and, like, more colorful. So it's like, it's fantastic. I'm really glad they made Alolan forms of those two, and I'm not gonna get them because I'm getting Sun, which, as part of any relationship pact, whatever my partner gets, I'm gonna get the opposite of. So she's getting Moon, I'm getting Sun.
Yeah, and Emily and I are both getting Moon, and Natalie's getting Sun.
Yeah, when you introduce polyamory to it, I don't know what my boyfriend's gonna get, if he does play at all, but I'm sticking with Sun for the time being, because, you know, I live locally with my girlfriend, so that will involve more trading.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what Riley's going to get, but I mean, we're moving to Seattle, so it's like...
It's a moot point of that.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, at that point, it's like...
And the people who live in Seattle, the fucking trans girl commune that is Seattle, like, there'll be other people with other versions, so you'll be fine. You'll be covered.
We do have a lot of other questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, David Lama asks... Isn't Sandshrew just the most adorable baby in all of Gen 1?
Yes, yes it is. I cannot agree more.
Yes. Yes. Totally agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Kiri, her question is, she wants to know our thoughts on the Pokemon Green Sandshrew sprite.
Yeah, I saw that actually. Huh.
And that is... Very... So... Even looking at the sprites from all of Gen 1...
Mm-hmm.
Like, looking at the original Pokemon Red sprites and the Pokemon Blue sprites, because it looks like they fixed up the front sprite in yellow, but it looks way more... Pangolin-esque.
Very much so, yeah.
In those early games, before they finalized the designs.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, especially because they didn't solidify the back pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah. Whoops-a-doodle.
I will say my favorite sprite is the original red sprite, because that is the cutest sprite. It's just sitting on the butt looking at you. Like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
It's like you just stumbled across it having a sit-down in the middle of a field. It's like, oh, hi.
They're so cute. Yeah, it sits around like Pooh Bear does.
Yeah, like, it's like they're so used to humans that, like, they just sit like, oh, hi. Humans, okay, cool.
Yeah, like, do you see the emerald sprite that's animated?
Yes.
That's just, oh my god.
It's waving.
Oh my god.
Like, hey.
I want one in real life.
No, same. Yeah. And even, like, the gold sprite, it's, like, just looking up like it's sniffing your hand.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that I looked at the official, like, you know, height and weight of a regular ground-type Sandshrew. That's basically the size of my Corgi, Monty. 2 feet tall, 12 kilos heavy. Yeah.
But Monty can't curl up into a ball. Monty's more of a loaf.
Have you not seen him curl up? He can curl up.
I know, I haven't. You need to send me pictures, because I'm always up for more Monty pictures.
I'll send you a picture of my weird, overly huge, floppy-eared corgi curled up into... He just curls up sometimes, and it's like, I don't see his head at all.
Listeners, if you follow Jules on Twitter, you'll be able to see so many pictures of Jules. Wow, Monty's such a cute corgi.
He is. He basically... He looks like a beagle, but he's a corgi, and he's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's a stumpy-legged, grumpy old man of a dog. But he still looks like a puppy.
Yeah. Marl asks, who's cuter, Sandshrew or Sandslash?
Sandshrew is definitely cuter. Sandslash has that cool teen edge appeal to him, for the most part.
Yeah. Sandslash, like, if you... Like, if there were a version of regular Sandslash that were blue, it would be Sonic.
Yeah, and like you said, it's like... Sandslash is basically Knuckles, like...
Yeah. Like, they have that cool... Yeah, that cool teen vibe, but Sandshrew's definitely the cuter of the two.
What I like, though, is that Sandslash is still cute in of itself. It's just... It's a Super Saiyan armadillo. Like... It went Super Saiyan 3! And this is a catch further beyond.
God.
Like, no, like, come on. It's got the quills that look like Super Saiyan hair going all the way down to its tail. It's got these huge-ass claws, and it's slightly bigger. Like, it went Super Saiyan 3.
God, I can't wait for you to watch JoJo Part 3.
I am real curious. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, the culmination of JoJo's Part 2 is that, next convention I go to, if I get the costume in time, like, and able to, like, keep my figure as
I saw a part two Joseph at New York Comic Con.
Oh no, like I'm going as part two Rule 63 Joseph. I'm going as Josephine Joestar.
Hell yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I saw part two, Joseph, and like I was busy buying books, so I couldn't take a picture because I was using Apple Pay.
I did love a friend of a friend of mine was at Smash, the Sydney Manga and Anime Convention, and they went as basically like meme lord Joseph in that they had green lipstick as well as the outfit and also green shutter shades.
Oh my god.
And their voguing was dabbing, and I was like, you made it.
Oh my god. Dustin has a question I think you'll like.
Mm-hmm.
So, if its name is Sans Slash, do you think it has a favorite yaoi pairing? If so, who does it ship?
Oh boy, oh boy.
I think it ships Victor Yuri. Like, I think Alolan Sans watches Yuri on Ice and ships Victor Yuri, like, really hard. And I also think that, like, girls, like, trans girl Sans Slashes think that Yuri's a trans girl. Because Yuri's totally a trans girl.
Yeah! No, totally.
Like, Yuri's totally in the closet. Like, oh my
yes.
God.
Also, just side note, Yuri on Ice. I just fucking bought that theme song off of iTunes last night.
Me too.
Real good. Yes. Also, I just want to see Sans Slash Alolan version just ice skating.
Oh my god, that would be so cute.
And you can imagine doing amazing pirouettes with its claws. Like doing pirouettes on its, like, hand claws and stuff.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
Oh my god.
I'm trying to think, though.
Okay, I'm getting on Alolan Sans Slash and I'm naming it Victor.
Fuck yeah. I am deciding, though, on my original OG Sanshu and Sandslash, what its yaoi pairing would be.
Sandtails?
Yeah, I mean, like, I want to move away from the whole Sonic Knuckles thing just for a moment, into, like, specifically anime yaoi pairings, because I'm just processing so many yaoi pairings in my head right now. And
see, I watch a lot of gay, like, girl anime, Amanchu and New Game and, like, mm-hmm. Sound Euphonium Season 2.
The gayest anime.
Also, like, Season 2 of Iron Blooded Orphans heavily implied the polyamory, right?
Wait, Season 1 heavily implies it. Season 2 gets a bit more into it, yeah.
No, I don't mean... I mean with, Mitsuki.
Yeah. Yeah. Mitsuki, Atra, and Kudeli. Yeah. Oh, no, totally, yeah. That's amazing to me. Especially because
like the minute she presented the bracelet to Kudeli, I was
right. Well, because I kind of maybe have done the same thing, actually, because, you can leave this in or edit it out. I'm going to leave it up to you. So I, a couple years, bought for my girlfriend, Sarah, a red string jade bracelet that had the Chinese zodiac of the goat on it, because that's the year she was born in. And I also have one myself that I bought on the most recent trip. I went to Hong Kong last week. And I also decided a few weeks before this trip that I would get my boyfriend Zach one, and I got him one of the Year of the Dog. So, I like the fact that all three of us have bracelets. Also, you probably edit this part out. Fun fact, I love green, Sarah loves blue, Zach fucking loves red, and together we make the RGB spectrum. And he actually...
Yeah, and you're also, like, you're 60% of the Sentai team.
Yeah, and also, like, the few things that I thought about that for, like, a couple of weeks, and I was like, didn't want to bring it up, because, like, oh, first couple weeks of a relationship, don't want to kind of come on too fast, and then he brought it up himself. I was like, oh, crap. Okay, cool. Like, he brought up the fact that red is a complementary opposite to green. I'm like, well, fuck.
It is.
Because it's funny that the dog and the goat are opposites on the Chinese zodiac. It's like, you're kind of messing with me, boy.
You're adorable.
Shut up. Anyway, let's get back to... Yeah.
Who do you think Sandshrew and Sandslash...
Ground Sandslash, for some reason, I guess it's because I'm so plugged into this show and I love it and I've been watching the most recent season. I'm thinking of Haikyuu pairings. I'm trying to think of which of the Volley Boys Sandslash would ship for Yaoi. Because, like,
See, this is why Dustin asked it.
No, yeah, Dustin...
This is revenge for you on episode 8.
Please, the things I do to Dustin on his podcast don't compare to what asking me, you know, what a Pokemon's Yaoi pairing is. Like, come on.
Well, it's like, it's partially revenge to you and partially revenge to me.
Yeah, because we're derailing the shit out of this, because I, like, Hinata and Kageyama is, like, the most basic ship in that show, because it's like, oh, it's the two main characters, fair enough, and, like they're hot and cold, cool. I think, actually, Sandslash would totally ship Nishinoya, the short libero, aka the defensive player of the volleyball team, with Asahi, the super tall ace, because that's a cute size different ship, and also Nishinoya is, like, hot-headed and spiky, just like Sandslash, and, you know, Asahi is, like, he's got long hair that he's got swept back and stuff, and he's a lot more calm, headed, and he's actually very, like, demure and stuff, so that's a cute little pairing in terms of personality and height difference. I think that would work well.
Yeah, I think, I don't watch it, but I'm gonna make one for a show that I watch that you don't yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be a slow burn for when you get to it. But I ship, I think regular Sandslash ships Josuke and Okuyasu from Part 4 JoJo.
Knowing those names and having seen those characters, I can see that.
Yeah, they're cute little delinquent boys.
Oh, no, wait, hold on. Who... What's his name? The really sensitive, autistic kid on I'm Blooded Orphans who has a crush on Shino, the hot-headed pilot. I think regular Sandslash would be super into that for some reason.
Shit, yeah.
Like, I don't know why, it just clicks. God, hold on one second.
There's so many gay ships in that show because it's all guys.
Well, that's the thing with anime. Like, you just, if you fill up a cast with guys, who are we going to ship them with? Themselves.
Yeah, it gets really homoerotic really fast.
I mean, the fucking IBO season 2 opening involves Mitsuki and Orga just holding hands.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of them. Oh my god, what is this?
Yeah.
Which... There's so many boys in that show.
Mitsuki's polycule is really interesting.
Yeah, because Mitsuki also just kind of doesn't, like... I don't know, Mitsuki just seems to function only on my death.
Yeah, I think Mitsuki is, like, Aero Ace.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Like, he's okay with, like, stuff, but it's like, he just doesn't have a concept of, like human emotion.
The way he accepts affection is usually via food.
Yes.
Or usually by someone forcing care upon him.
And, like, he registers affection because, you know, he protects Atra and stuff, and Cordelia. Like...
Yeah.
Yamagi, that's his name. Yamagi is the younger kid who has a crush on Shino.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whew, I just need to sate that curiosity bug.
All right, so Alexandra has a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
One, will you protect them?
Yes.
Same. Two, do they roll up into a ball you can pet?
Oh, definitely. Yes. Not just pet, hold close and cuddle.
Yeah. And do they ever not crit? OMG, they're the best. Which, yeah, oh my god, the crit on my Sandslash is fucking ridiculous.
Again, they have so much use in both competitive as well as appeal in, like, aesthetic. It's such a shame that up until now they've kind of fallen to the wayside as an evolutionary tree in terms of popularity.
Yeah. Yeah, it really sucks.
But hey, they're getting their resurgence now, which is great.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that brings along more fan art, too.
Yes, definitely. Fingers crossed.
And Marl has one last question.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is better at carving pumpkins?
So, having had, like, actual sculpture training, I would say... It depends what you're looking
also,
for.
Also, I would like to note for the...
Mm-hmm.
I would like to note for the listeners that in the U.S. right now, it is October 26th when we're recording this. This will air way after Halloween.
Yeah. Also, Halloween is only just becoming more of a thing in Australia.
But anyway, so which one is better at carving pumpkins?
It depends on what you're looking for with the carving. I want to say that Sand Slash would be great for just getting, like, those deep cuts, literally, with those claws.
Yeah, I feel like Sand Slash would be better at scooping out all the innards.
Yep, and also just, like, if you depends on the size of the pumpkin, if you really want to cut something huge into it, Sand Slash would be great for finding detail with its tiny claws that probably have more, like, dexterity and minute control.
More finesse.
Yes. I would say, though, Sand Slash would be great to have for, like, patterning if you, like... If you were, like, working with a Sand Slash, you could just have it stay still while you use the back quills to actually, like, make patterns with.
Yeah.
Especially just, like, maybe poking holes or carving edges or just getting imprint, depending on how soft the pumpkin is. You could also maybe do the same with Sand Shrew's, like, brick pattern, which would be pretty cool to have on a pumpkin.
What would be really cool is if it's a large enough pumpkin, you you take your Sand Slash out of the Pokeball inside the pumpkin and have it be curled up.
Yeah.
So all the spikes go out inside the pumpkin from inside
that'd
out.
That'd be great.
Right.
I think the answer to that is just simply they would have their own strengths and weaknesses in pumpkin carving. I can't decide on a winner between those two. They're too great.
Yeah, same.
I'm that person who goes, why can't every team get a trophy?
Different toolkits.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's all about different toolkits.
Exactly.
Do you have any other stories you'd like to share about Sand Shrew or Sand Slash?
Nothing that I can quite think of at the moment. I've got a lot of just Pokemon stories in general, mostly due to the fact that, like, I'll just tell this because, like, this is my debut episode on this podcast. I might as well tell, like, the one big Pokemon story I have. So,
yeah, go for it.
So this isn't really, like, about the games or, you know, even the anime or even, like, specific Pokemon designs. Actually, a little bit. But when I was a kid, I was really bad at, like, taking formal testings and such. Like, I couldn't write essays and things. I couldn't actually, like, answer questions properly, and my actual reading capability was terrible. Even though I wasn't, like, I didn't have any learning disabilities, I wasn't, I was just a lazy kid, to be completely honest, and I didn't want to learn. And I was just, you know, always stuck in the clouds for the most part. Still am. So, I took an entrance exam at a prep school, because I ended up becoming one of those fancy posh high school, private school kids. And at the prep school, I failed the exam. And this is, like, my last chance to get into this prep school, which would lead me to a better, you know, private high school. And my mom really wanted that. And she knew I wasn't slow in any regard based on testing or societal standards. So she knew I could draw. And that was, like, my main skill, even back then as a kid. I didn't even trace stuff. I would always draw straight from, like, source material and reference material. And she one day took all of my Pokemon drawings, and this is around fifth grade, because I entered fifth grade, and at the time I was nine turning 10. And she hammered the headmaster at the school to just give her, like, just hear her out. And she met him, she showed him all of my Pokemon drawings, and convinced him that he should do just a verbal interview with me, and just ask me questions, and test me in that manner through, like, in a conversation rather than, like, putting a sheet of paper in front of me. And he agreed. And he gave me an interview. And at the time, I had no clue what this was about. I just thought this was part of, you know, joining a school, especially a fancy school. I got to talk to the headmaster and stuff. Okay, sure. I just ate candy from his bowl while just answering his questions. But apparently I answered well enough to the point where I got into the school that way. And that's what got me through to high school, which is why I learned a lot of stuff, and it's why I actually got the education I have now. I'm very privileged in that regard. I won't ever, like, knock that or try and underplay that aspect of my upbringing. But yeah, then on day of graduation at high school, my mom, while tearing up, just finally told me the truth and said, yeah, you got into high school eventually because of your Pokemon drawings.
I remember you telling this story once, and it's always heartwarming, as, like, you're, like, every time you talk about your mom, like, she just sounds like an awesome mom.
She is, her number one philosophy when it comes to raising kids is that, as a parent, you should always be your kid's number one fan from the get-go.
I like your mom.
She's really good. She's had ups and downs, but she's been, like, super fantastic about, like, everything. She's, like, I've not told her about my boyfriend yet, but she has known I've been in a polyamorous relationship before, and after, you know, after the whole aftermath of that, and I told her that it ended, and she just was, like, she was confused, and she didn't understand it, but she didn't judge whatsoever, and she just wanted to make sure I was okay. And
yeah,
even just, like, having dinner with her alone, like, we would just talk about that, and God, when I first came out to her as trans, ever since then, she has been leaving clues and giving very big hints that she wants me to be a transgender model.
I mean, have you seen your own selfies?
I guess I'm just doing my big exaggerated shrug. Like,
you vogue without practicing. Like, you started voguing before you started watching JoJo.
Yeah, it came real fast. I mean, like, I don't know what it was. I just pose.
It was the hormones.
No, even before that.
The hormones come with voguing.
Even before that, even, like, looking at pre-coming out selfies and stuff, like, I just kind of did that. Selfies were a way for me to build confidence, really, because, like, I hated my face, and now I'm okay with it.
Well, you're cute.
I know when I look good, and I can accept a compliment now. Like, that's a hell of a lot better than I used to be.
Oh, I still can't accept compliments, but I don't argue anymore. I just go, wah, loudly.
I mean, same, but more like, I'll just go, okay, fine, I guess I look okay,
fine. So, why don't you remind everyone where you can find you?
You can find me on Twitter, @GatsbyLow. That's where you can go for a lot of my just general rantings and ravings about things and just musing about a lot of stuff I'm going through in life. You can also find me...
And Gunpla and Toku and your boyfriend and your girlfriend and...
I just talk about what's happening to me in life, because when I first, you know, started being social online, especially through Twitter and things, I just felt really alone. I like sharing stuff about myself to make people not feel as alone, because I know that I'm not the only one going through these things. How could I possibly be? I'm one of, like, 8 billion people, well, not 8, but, like, you know, 7 billion people in the world. It's like, how could I be the only one experiencing stuff? So, yeah, that's where you can find me on Twitter. That's probably the place where I'm most active. You can also find me on other audio entropy shows, Digital Moncast specifically, and the newly started Transmission Radio. Definitely check that out. Let me just quickly grab the Twitter account for that, because that's essentially where we get a lot of, you know, followers and stuff, and sometimes less anonymous questions. So that's @TMRadioCast. And you can also send in anonymous questions to the Tumblr, which is transmissionradiopodcast.tumblr.com. I'm really excited for that podcast, especially just to, you know,
episode one was really good.
Thank you. As much as I like to goof around, as much as I'm a very happy-go-lucky personality, I do appreciate the chance to just, you know, I'm going to goof off right now, but, you know, I do appreciate the chance to, like, turn the seat backwards and just sit down and have a good chat with people.
Yeah. As long as you don't Riker over the chair.
I might, just to, like, lighten the mood if it really needs that. Or if I'm doing it just to be a dick to a friend, because that's fun sometimes. Especially if they've never seen that scene. Like, they don't know the whole meme about, you know, Riker from TNG doing that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on.
No problem. It was a pleasure. I love talking about Pokemon.
HM96 Podcasts is part of the Audio Entropy family of podcasts. You can find us at audioentropy.com, as well as on iTunes. You can follow this podcast on Twitter @HM96Podcast. You can support this podcast and my other projects at patreon.com/Fiona with 2 N's. You can check my website, FionaAdams.com with 2 N's, for the latest on my projects and convention schedule. From there, you can also follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and other social networks. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week with the next step in our Pokemon journey.
Well, you do come from the continent where everything's trying to kill you.
This is true. It's real fun.
As Talon and I discuss.
Yeah. Beware of drop bears.
Yeah.
Again, it is by law.
Coffin rays.
It is by law where if two Australians who have never known each other at all cross paths in a foreign country and the subject of drop bears comes up, and there's like another, like someone else who is not from Australia in that conversation, it is those Australians' duty to perpetuate the myth, no matter what. I mean, it's to the point where the official Australian Museum website has a full on, like, page about drop bears, including a Latin name and everything. Like,
well, Talon was telling me that drop bears, like, archaeologists found skeletons that had, like, claw holes.
I wouldn't be surprised. We had giant wombats that were, like, the size of bears as megafauna in Australia in prehistoric times. We also there used to be kangaroos that were 7 to 10 feet long and goannas which were 23 feet long.
What?
Yeah, that was Australian prehistoric times.
Christ, if Australia isn't a Pokemon region sometime soon, I'm going to be really disappointed.
I'm really weirded out that there's not a cassowary Pokemon, because cassowaries are terrifying, but also colorful, and they would make for great Pokemon. Do you know about cassowaries?
No.
I'll just briefly mention them, but basically, so you can joke as much as you want about, like, oh, feathers on a raptor, even a Utahraptor.
Oh, those things.
Yeah, so, like, imagine it's...
I've seen pictures, I didn't know the name.
They're, like, for those who don't know, imagine a slightly shorter, like, emu or ostrich. Cover it in, like, jet black fur and, like, a gray mottled skin with a turkey waddle and a weird horn frill that's multicolored. And here's the fucked up thing about them. So it's like, oh, an emu and ostrich.
These things look more evil than geese.
Yeah, because when people feed them in captivity, they have to use riot shields to feed them, like, raw meat and stuff. And their claws are so fucking huge that they can, like, puncture these riot shields.
The fuck?
They are the most terrifying creature that we have, even more so than I'd say crocodiles, because crocodiles are just kind of chill for the most part. You don't deserve crocodiles, you're fine. You look at a cassowary from 500 meters away, bye. I mean, same goes for wombats. Wombats are weirdly enough very aggressive, and they also have, like, the headbutting strength of a, you know, battering ram, so you might actually, like, break something if a wombat headbutts you.
The fuck is with your continent?
Also, like, kangaroos can, like, just straight up kick you to death.